History is thought of in two main ways: a place, people, or event which happened long ago and exists only today in books and memories, or a distant location where people go and usually pose for a photo by. There's one more, I think, too often forgotten idea about history that really needs to be appreciated a lot more: the history which is literally in your backyard, that not only informs but educates. That's the history my next guest joins us to talk about, which serves the dual role of honoring heroes of yesterday while presenting an education for the people of today. She is a Civil War historian and former regional director of the National Archives, Kelly Green Blake. How are you today, Kelly?
I'm well. Thank you for having me.
And what I'm talking about, well, first of all, it'll be a surprise, because normally when you think of wartime history, the Revolutionary War is the first, pretty much 99% of history buffs or novices, that's what they would gravitate to. But we are talking about a cemetery in New Jersey where I guess you'd say a majority of the people who are interred there and rest there are from the Civil War. And that's not a part of history normally associated with New Jersey.
Well, you know, Chris, it's a bit interesting to me. There are more than 266 souls buried in the Pennington African Cemetery. And of those 266, I'm just going to talk for a lecture next week about the 10 who I consider to be heroes of the Civil War. They are 10 men who served in what was called the United States Colored Troops, the common nomenclature of the day and the nomenclature used by the U.S. government. And we now call it the USCT. And those men, remarkably to me, left Pennington, New Jersey, and all they knew to go to distant places and serve the United States in a civil war whose outcome they could not imagine. And when I think about that moment where they made the decision to serve, and something I learned in the journey of researching this topic is that New Jersey, unlike most of the northern states, we know about the 54th Massachusetts, made famous in glory, or the 29th Connecticut, made famous at the Battle of Olustee. But New Jersey does not have its own named African-American regiment. And there was a reason for that. The reason being, New Jersey was a Democratic state in both elections, 1860 and 64. They did not go for Abraham Lincoln. In 1860, they liked Stephen Douglas. And in 1864, they supported George McClellan. And both Douglas and McClellan were conciliators. They believed that the Civil War was not for the purpose of ending slavery, but the first regard of the war was to keep the Union intact, and slavery would work itself out. And so the state of New Jersey, so as not to exacerbate the sensibilities of other Democratic slave owners, did not move forward in creating its own African-American regiment. So, all to say, these young men had to go elsewhere to be able to enlist and serve. They went to Rhode Island. They went to Connecticut. They went to Philadelphia. And that is a remarkable fact to me, because it was doubly hard. Once making the decision to serve, they had to go the geographic distance to enlist.
And I want to mention, too, that Kelly will be doing this free, very historical, very interesting. Even if you're not a fan of history, the story alone is something you might read out of what we call the historical novels. She'll be giving this free talk on the Pennington Cemetery at July 19th, 7 p.m. at the Pennington School. That's at 112 West Delaware Avenue in Pennington, New Jersey. Again, that's July 19th, 7 p.m. at the Pennington School at 112 West Delaware Avenue in Pennington, New Jersey. This is a free event that will introduce you to an element of Civil War New Jersey history through the Pennington African Cemetery. And as far as the cemetery itself, Kelly, I've been, people always look at me with a, you know, a raised eyebrow or tilted head when I say I enjoy going to cemeteries. I've been to many in places like Hartford, Boston. There's a fantastic cemetery in Port Jervis, New York, where you can see gravestones dating back to pre-1776, actually. And there's so many names that are there that we don't know anything about. The work you do is really helping those heroes, as you mentioned, who are interred at Pennington African Cemetery, bring their actions and bring their efforts and bring the lessons that they brought about and everything they had to endure and overcome to the people of today, which I think many of those lessons are timeless.
Chris, you and I are kindred spirits in that, and it's because there's just, as Lincoln said, a mystic cord of memory that just pierces our hearts. As we look at these stories, they're people's stories. I mean, these are granite monuments or other stone or wood or whatever we're looking at, but there's a story. There are folks who felt it was important to mark this individual and what they did. And although I'm not precisely a cemetery historian, I find another part of my story always looking at cemeteries, what compels people to remember and monumentalize individuals who are buried there. What did they do that makes them that important to community? And even the establishment of the Pennington African Cemetery is a monument unto itself, because in fact, you know, it's a 1 acre, it's a quiet little acre down a slip of a road, and therein no fewer than 266, we know, but they purchased in perpetuity that land in 1863. They received a deed at exactly the time their sons, their African-American sons, were going off to war, enlisting, not drafted, enlisting. And my sense is that these leaders of community who procured this space knew if these boys did not return alive, they needed a place to bury them and honor them. And so I like that part of the story as well. They understood that a monument might need to be created, and they created it. And there it stands today. It's if you walk through the cemetery, your heart can't help but be touched at these headstones marked with the U.S. government nomenclature of not only the unit, but COLD, which was the abbreviation for colored, so that they even carry this federal nomenclature in the enduring history of our day. So I've enjoyed doing the research. I've enjoyed learning more about these gentlemen, some of whom saw Lee's surrender at Appomattox, literally stood through the furling of the Confederate flag and the laying down of arms. Others were the first troops to enter Richmond at the fall of Richmond. I mean, they're the first faces that these Confederate soldiers saw were African-American Union soldiers from New Jersey. And then they remained in Richmond and were able to see within feet of the man, Abraham Lincoln. And some of them remark on what that was like to be at the end of the war. And now they were going home, or at least soon they were going home. And what would that mean for their lives? It's just a fascinating study and a different way of going at history when you go from those in a cemetery first and then you make them jump off from the headstone like you make individuals jump from a portrait, and you find the human being behind this very still, unchanging image. So,
talking with Civil War historian Kelly Green Blake. She's also former regional director of the National Archives, about the Pennington African Cemetery in Pennington, New Jersey. And Kelly will be giving a free talk and a lecture and a Q&A, I'm sure, at the Pennington School at 112 West Delaware Avenue in Pennington, New Jersey, coming up on July 19th at 7 p.m. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Did the fact that these individuals served formally, officially in the U.S. military make it easier to learn more about them versus if they remained civilians and did various heroic acts? Because just given the times being what they were back then, many, if they were civilians, their actions might not have been noted, recorded, and not recognized, and that would have been lost to the dust of history.
Chris, that is the most thoughtful question I might ever have received as an archivist, and you are so right on point with that. That's exactly the case here. For several reasons. One, their service creates all sorts of federal records. Two, when they return to community, because they have been in service, it creates extra records in, say, the newspaper. I was going through some old Trenton Times and found that two of the men, William Boyer and Charles Jennings, who returned and became leaders in the Pennington African-American community, were also very much honored by the Mercer County community. And so because they are veterans, they are documented a lot in the Trenton Times, a great deal in Trenton Times. But the real gold mine is in something called the pension file of these men. After the war, immediately after the war almost, United States colored troops, USCT, are just as eligible to receive federal pensions as other servicemen. Now, they weren't always paid the same pay during the course of the war, but in pensions, their pay was equal. And so they would make application to the United States government for a pension if they'd been injured, or, and the longer they lived, the more opportunity they had to make application. So the ideal situation for me is when they are denied several times over the years and they keep submitting an application, I get more and more information about their lives and their march through life, literally. And then once they receive a pension and enjoy that until they die, their wives, their widows, can make application for pension. And so for some of these soldiers, I have records on some semblance of their living conditions, their own accounts of their wartime experiences, the women's accounts of their marriages and their family life. I might have that going all the way up to 1920s in this case. So it helps enormously to better understand what heroes they are when you see their accounting of their experiences, especially from men who are not literate, but who are required by these applications to write or have someone write what they did in the war. It's wonderful. They're among my favorite records.
I'm thinking, too, since the 1860s was the infant days of photography, were any of these individuals, you mentioned a couple of times and places they were at, have you come across any photos of any of these individuals?
Again, a wonderful question and a thoughtful question. Yes and yes. I have found some pictures of two of the gentlemen in veterans' garb in the post-war era, but two of these 10 served with the 29th Connecticut Colored Infantry, and they were sent to Beaufort, South Carolina, to drill and really as early occupiers of a Union-conquered area, and in an area that was looked to as a possible prototype for Reconstruction. At the Georgia and Carolina Sea Islands are a study unto themselves, but these were the soldiers, the 29th Connecticut, who were sent there, and there were a number of photographers who were there. So I have excellent pictures of the entire unit and quite a few close-ups. And while I can't say that this soldier or this soldier is exactly our soldier in the Pennington African Cemetery, I feel sure that they are pictured somewhere in the group and that at least for our audience next week, they'll get a true sense of what it might have been like to walk away from Pennington, go to training, and end up in this world so far away of Beaufort, South Carolina, where they are in command of the entire military district. Quite a story in a short time after their enlistment. So,
the title of her talk is No Slave Beneath That Story Flag, Civil War Heroes of the Pennington African Cemetery. And Kelly will be delivering this talk and presentation. And you can learn more and grow in your appreciation, too, for, as I said in the introduction, heroes in history that many cases you're unaware of that are literally in your backyard. Kelly will be delivering this free lecture at the Pennington School, which is at 112 West Delaware Avenue in Pennington, New Jersey, on July 19th at 7 p.m. And hopefully once you experience this talk, or if you can't make it, to do a little website research and Googling of your own to learn more about the Pennington African Cemetery, what it represents and what it signifies. You'll do a little historical self-exploration around your neck of the woods, too, because you just don't know what you might find out. And at the same time, much like with the Pennington African Cemetery, these locations need support so they don't become those memories and books and photographs.
Mm-hmm.
And their actual physical presence is left to that realm of history as opposed to a point of history that people can experience more emotionally, not just visually. So again, mm-hmm. it's the talk is No Slave Beneath That Starry Flag, Civil War Heroes of the Pennington and African Cemetery. This will be a free lecture, 7 p.m. July 19th at Pennington School, 112 West Delaware Avenue in Pennington, New Jersey, to be presented by Civil War historian and former regional director of the National Archives, Kelly Green Blake. Kelly, thank you so much for the way that you bring those deeds and the honor and the lives back to us, preserve them, protect them, and use them for the educational tools that they indeed can be honorably used as. And thanks for being here today.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for the opportunity. And just in hearing your questions, I'm more inspired than ever. So thank you.